It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. The Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. So nice. We do it twice. Part two of the Week 13 edition is presented by DraftKings.com. Look, you guys know the deal with DraftKings.com. You're aware what DraftKings.com brings to the table. But have you tried it yet? Have you taken advantage of our code FEAST to play for free with your first deposit? Have you tried the 50-50 contests? Look, if you guys aren't in the top half in a 50-50 contest, then who is? You guys are the elite that listen to the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast and RotoWorld.com superstar Evan Silva. Take his advice. Use the code FEAST. Play for free with your first deposit. And to play for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply, so make sure you see the website for details. All right, Evan, let's start part number two with a bang. It's Buffalo and Oakland, back in Oakland where I was on Sunday. Tell you what, the Raiders, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Amerson, DJ Hayden. You know, the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, they were able to hit him deep a couple times. And you got to think Oakland's going to be geared up to stop Shady McCoy in the running game. I kind of like Sammy Watkins in this one.
Yeah, man. Did you glean any good intel or what?
I'm trying to think.
I'll let you think. That was a fun game last week. The Panthers offense. I guess I'll talk about the Panthers offense when we.
I got intel for you. Yeah. Ready?
Nice.
Okay. So one thing you need to know is I talked to a player for the Raiders, and I asked him about playing in Mexico City. Just so we know for moving forward, I said, "What was it like playing in Mexico City?" And he said, "Man, I couldn't breathe up in that mother." You know what? So I don't know what that means from a fantasy perspective, but it's something to note. And he said it's 7,000 miles higher elevation or whatever than, or 7,000 feet higher than Denver. So he knew that, and it was tough. So just something to note for next year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I dig it, man. I dig it.
So you like Watkins as well?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I mean, he beat Jalen Ramsey for a long bomb last week. Beat Jalen Ramsey a couple times, actually. Only played 45% of the Bills' snaps, but I would expect him to be 60 to 70% in terms of playing time this week. Always have concerns with big receivers against the Raiders. Because of the size of their defensive backs, but Sammy Watkins is not big, you know, and he can play big, I think, but he's not a big receiver. He's a guy who can run by you, and I think that he will have a shot to run by the Raiders cornerbacks. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor's game is not precision passing. It is deep passing. That's why Charles Clay really isn't a factor. So I think that Sammy Watkins is pretty much good to go this week, and I like the matchup for him. LeSean McCoy actually did not have a lot of success running the ball in terms of, like, per-touch success rate last week against Jacksonville, but he was able to break off two big plays. One was a 25-yard check down in the second half, and the other one was a 75-yard touchdown run on his first run of the third quarter. And the Raiders actually have been giving up big runs to opposing running backs recently. A 47-yard run to Jonathan Stewart last week. And then Lamar Miller had, I think, a 45-yard run against them in Mexico City. So, yeah, I mean, LeSean McCoy is good to go this week. But it was a little bit concerning that his success rate was so low last week without the center, Eric Wood. Just something for conversation's sake.
What about the Raiders offensively against the Bills?
Yeah, so after, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Derek Carr, I saw him just totally in, he was in the shotgun after the pinky injury.
Correct. He did not take any snaps under center.
Right.
Which is limiting in the run game.
Yeah, right. So I think that he will probably be in the shotgun this entire game, I would think. Especially because that gives him a little bit more or better vision against the Bills defense, which is kind of built on blitzing and getting pressure on the quarterback. I think Derek Carr has a chance at a big game here. I think that we are going to see him throw the ball a lot. I think that the Raiders will go out of their way to make sure that he is protected. They already have a great offensive line. But I think that he has a chance to have a big game against Buffalo. A lot of pass attempts. I like the matchups for the receivers. I think that Amari Cooper was one of the most disappointing players in fantasy last week. But I think that he can beat Stephon Gilmore. And I like Crabtree against whoever the Bills are going to run out at the other cornerback position. Ronald Darby suffered a concussion last week. They've been talking about using the sixth-round rookie Kevin Seymour there. The other guy would be Corey White, who has been a nightmare. So I think that and we saw Clive Walford make some plays last week, which is something that the Raiders could really use. It is worth noting that DeAndre Washington was a healthy scratch last week. The Raiders kind of committed to Jalen Richard as their change of pace back behind Latavius Murray. The running game did not have a lot of success against the Panthers, but teams rarely have success running against the Panthers. Latavius Murray's workload is secure. His snap percentage last week, 66%, was his highest all season. I think the Raiders' offense will be successful here against the Bills' defense. And, I think that they'll have a good game.
All right, we'll keep it moving here in the late games. How about the Washington Redskins at the Arizona Cardinals? The Redskins offense has just been on fire. And I know that we thought the Arizona Cardinals defense could do some things, but the Falcons tore them up a little bit. Is there anybody in particular for the Redskins you don't like in the matchup against the Cardinals?
Well, I think that the guy who really stands out to me is Jamison Crowder. We have talked on the show about kind of complementary interior-oriented receivers giving the Cardinals a lot of problems. And, one big reason for that is the Cardinals' pass rush. Another big reason for that is Patrick Peterson on the outside. But if you just go back and look at all the receivers that have given or that have had a lot of catches or a lot of production against the Cardinals, it's been guys like Adam Humphries, Adam Thielen, Taylor Gabriel last week. I mean, I think that Kyle Shanahan kind of realized that. I mean, Mohamed Sanu had 8 targets last week. Justin Hardy played a lot more than he usually does and made a lot of plays. He actually had a catch over the top of Patrick Peterson, but Justin Hardy is more of an interior-oriented player. Taylor Gabriel plays a lot on the interior. He's more of like a manufactured touch guy. But you know, 17 targets to Taylor Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu, and Justin Hardy. They caught 14 of them for almost 200 yards and two touchdowns combined. I think that Jamison Crowder is the guy that stands out in the Redskins pass catcher core this week. I don't know about Jordan Reed. You know, this injury sounds severe, but some medical experts think that he will be able to play. The Cardinals have eliminated opposing tight ends. Austin Hooper was a complete non-factor last week. Greg Olsen didn't do anything. Didn't do anything against them. Jimmy Graham had a real slow game against them and didn't really get going in that game until late in the fourth quarter and overtime in that Sunday night game. Kyle Rudolph, 2 catches for 12 yards against the Cardinals. So, you know, tough matchup for whatever tight end is going to be in there for the Redskins.
All right. Well, then, conversely, the Arizona Cardinals have just kind of been stalling out offensively as of late. I mean, the whole team's been a disappointment, let's be honest. Now they got the Redskins defense. David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, I feel like, are the two guys that have come to play every week, and then the other guys have done almost nothing the whole season.
Yeah, agree. And this should be a big game for David Johnson. I think this week in Daily Fantasy, we're trying to decide between David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. They're both in the same price range. They're both at home in games their team should, you know, obviously be competitive at worst, and they're favored at home. But the matchup is better for David Johnson. The Redskins are weak in run defense. I mean, they're last in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA. No surprise that the Cowboys lit them up, with their running game on Thanksgiving. And I would expect David Johnson to have a lot of success running the ball against the Redskins. Larry Fitzgerald had a slow game last week by his standards. That was surprising to me. Desmond Trufant was out, and I was like, man, this has a shot to be a big game for Larry Fitzgerald. The Falcons, or the Cardinals, though, decided that they were going to attack Jalen Collins, the second-year outside cornerback for the Falcons. They went after him really, really aggressively. Jalen Collins gave up some yards, but he held his own. I think he had 2 pass breakups. And you know that strategy was not successful. Got to go back to Larry Fitzgerald here against Kendall Fuller in the slot. Josh Norman only plays 4% of his snaps at slot corner. Larry Fitzgerald is at about 70% at slot receiver. So I don't think that we will see Josh Norman move inside just because he's never really done that. I suppose the Redskins could try to make it specific to this game that they would move him inside, but ultimately I don't think that they will, and I think that Larry Fitzgerald should really, really bounce back against Kendall Fuller. The Redskins giving up a lot of production recently, like big games to guys who play slot receiver for the opposing team.
All right. Well, we can keep it moving then and get to the next game, which is the Giants and the Steelers, one of the marquee late games. Let's start with the Giants offensively, who, man, they're winning games. They're not doing a whole lot offensively. Sterling Shepard didn't have a catch. Eli apologized. Does that mean Sterling Shepard's a name to watch against the Steelers?
I think to less of an extent than some of these other guys that flopped in great spots last week. We'll talk about Antonio Gates in a minute, but there were so many guys like this. Eric Ebron, Amari Cooper, Larry Fitz, Russell Wilson, Brandon Cooks. I don't Did I already mention him? There were just a lot of guys who were in great, great situations last week that had bad games. Sterling Shepard, though, I mean, he hasn't gone over 50 yards since week three. So, you know, a lot of people shouldn't have been starting him in fantasy in the first place. The matchup was good against the Browns, but I mean, it wasn't like he was a great start, to begin with. Also, Eli Manning had a season-low 27 pass attempts, and Odell Beckham had 11 targets. So nobody's going to be productive, you know, besides Odell Beckham in a situation like that. And that was the case. I mean, I think Victor Cruz was their second leading receiver, and he had one catch. So, the attempts should go back up in this game. I'm a little bit worried about Eli this week, as Pat Thorman of Pro Football Focus mentioned him a lot, has pointed out. Eli Manning has really, really struggled against the blitz this year, and since the Steelers' bye week, they lead the NFL in blitz frequency, and their pass rush has really started to come alive recently. I mean, they've got 16 sacks over their last four games. Eli Manning has been a lot worse on the road this year. So some concerns here for Eli Manning. Now, this game has a chance to be a shootout. Eli Manning has multiple touchdown passes in four straight games. So there are reasons to like him too. But, you know, want to try to examine the positives and in addition to the negatives with a player before making a decision on him. And, I mean, I think that there are enough negatives here with Eli Manning for concern. Odell Beckham, obviously, you know, I would love to see the Giants get him matched up with the rookie Artie Burns. And I think that they will. They have been kind of scheming to get Odell Beckham in better matchups lately. And over the course of the season, he has run most of his routes against right corners, which is where Artie Burns plays. So should be a big game for Odell Beckham.
Steelers going against a pretty darn good Giants D, especially the corners have played pretty well. Who do you like or not like from the Steelers this week? Who's the guy to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Steelers at home where they usually crush. It's also against a top eight defense. I think we can say that about the Giants at this point. Early in the year, they weren't really rushing the passer, but they've done a better job of doing that. They're solid against the run, and they have excellent secondary play. So they've got, you know, pretty much all the components now. Trying to think really what stands out here. AB is a monster. I don't think anybody – last week the Giants kind of made the mistake of not using Janoris Jenkins against Terrell Pryor. And actually on the plays that Janoris Jenkins went up against Terrell Pryor, Janoris Jenkins, for the most part, won those battles. But Terrell Pryor ended up going up against Eli Apple a lot last week, and Terrell Pryor was a mismatch for Eli Apple. I think that Todd Haley is good about moving AB around enough or trying to get him matched up against the opposing weaker cornerback. And I think that that is Eli Apple for the Giants. So I would expect Todd Haley to do that. Eli Rogers snaps, the slot receiver, his slot snaps were down last week. And that was in part, he got out snapped by Kobe Hamilton. I think that was due in part to the fact that the Steelers started using more of Ladarius Green, who has run a pass route on 90% of his snaps so far this year. He is not playing a lot of snaps, but his playing time is on the rise, and the Steelers are not using him like a traditional tight end. Even though he has only been on the field at most 26% of the time, I think that Ladarius Green is in play here in fantasy. He made two big plays against the Colts on Thursday night in a game where the Steelers didn't really throw the ball much. And his wide receiver-like usage makes him kind of be able to overcome the fact that he's not getting a lot of playing time. Like Jesse James in the last game, he blocked on 70% of his snaps, whereas Ladarius Green blocked on like 12% of his snaps. So I think that if you're looking for, you know, if you can live with some volatility, Ladarius Green is a very interesting fantasy play this week, both, you know, as a season-long streamer and as a DFS dart throw.
Let's move on to the Bucks and the Chargers. And, Evan, how about Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, and the Bucks? Now they're out in San Diego. Any reason to think that train will slow down, or is there somebody else to talk about for the Bucks?
Oh, I think it's going to be real tough to slow down Mike Evans. And Doug Martin has kind of gotten better every game. You know, he's not having monster games, but he's getting a lot of work. He is playing a lot more in the passing game than he did at any point last year. And I mean, Mike Evans is really the only guy that the Bucs have in the passing game, and they've kind of acknowledged that. Cameron Brate did have a touchdown call back last week. I think he finished with 4 catches for 49 yards, and he's sort of in play if you really need help at tight end. But yeah, I mean, I think that this game has high-scoring potential, and I like Doug Martin, you know, Mike Evans always, and Jameis Winston has been solid for a long stretch.
What about the Chargers on offense after what the Bucs did defensively to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Any concerns there?
I don't, you know, I would say no. Because the Chargers' offensive line is much better than the Seahawks' offensive line, and that was just a really good spot, you know, last week for the Bucks. I thought, I mean, we talked about how I thought they had a chance to pull that upset, and they did. I think that the results will probably be different in a much different environment. You know, coming off that big home win. Do the Bucks go all the way out to San Diego and go, you know, impose their will against the Chargers? I don't know about that. I think this is a good game here for Melvin Gordon. I think that back home after Antonio Gates got the goose egg last week, which the Chargers chalked up to double teams, although his playing time was down a little bit coming off the bye. But, I mean, he was still the primary receiving tight end. Hunter Henry had more production, but Hunter Henry only ran 9 pass routes. So I don't think we can all of a sudden go back to Hunter Henry. I think Antonio Gates is still the guy here. And back home after the goose egg, I think Phillip Rivers tries to get Antonio Gates a touchdown. Antonio Gates, he needs 3 more touchdowns to get past Tony Gonzalez on the all-time tight end touchdown record list. So I think that this would be a good opportunity for them to add to that total. Tyrell Williams suffered a shoulder injury last week, but he's expected to be good to go, and he has been a monster. 14 targets last week, you know, making plays against the Texans stout cornerbacks. Travis Benjamin was not used a lot, and you know, still kind of concerned about that PCL with Travis Benjamin. In as long as Travis Benjamin is not going to be used a lot, then Dontrell Inman probably will be used a lot.
Let's get to the night games. Carolina at Seattle. Carolina did do some things offensively. Stewart had a big run. Cam had a rushing touchdown. He dropped a couple of bombs to Ted Ginn and Kelvin Benjamin. Just missed a couple other ones as well. Can they do any of that against Seattle?
I'm going to lean no. Last week they got over 50% of their yardage on three plays. It was the bomb to Ginn, 88 yards. It was the 47-yard run by Stewart, and it was the 45-yard play to Kelvin Benjamin. And that was against a much weaker defense than they're going to face this time. I think that there are some reasons to believe that the Panthers could kind of surprise here. These teams have played a ton over the last 3-4 years. They play each other like every year in the playoffs. They've played a lot in the regular season. And the last three games have been shootouts. I think the lowest point total in the last three games has been 48. So there have been a lot of points scored. The Seahawks have started to be bad against tight ends recently. And Greg Olsen has really given them a lot of problems in the last two meetings. 7 catches for 120 in one of them, or 7 catches for 130 in one of them. And in the other one, he had 6 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. Greg Olsen has been really disappointing in fantasy lately, but he's a guy that you got to stick with through the tough times. Kelvin Benjamin went up against Sherman twice as a rookie, once in the regular season, once in the playoffs. And he beat him a number of times in those games. He had 4 catches for 94 yards in the first one, and in the second one he had 7 catches for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Benjamin, he has been a reliable guy this year, has not had monster games. I don't think he's going to have a monster game against Richard Sherman, but I think that he's still very much usable in fantasy. The big concern, Ted Ginn, by the way, leads the Panthers in targets since their bye week. The big concern is that, the Panthers offensive line, they placed Michael Orr, their left tackle, on IR last week. This week they placed their first and second string centers on IR. Ryan Khalil, obviously, a difference maker, and being without him has really hurt them. So I think that there are some advantages in the passing game for the Panthers, but their offensive line play scares me. There have been games this year where the opponent gets a bunch of hits on Cam Newton, and he just goes in the tank. It's tough to say. They could really show up and, against a team that they know pretty well in what looks like a really bad spot. And I think, give the Seahawks a run for their money, or it could be one of these games where Cam Newton takes hits and kind of sulks and goes into a shell and, the Panthers just get pounded. I don't know. I think it's a tough outcome to try to predict.
What about Seattle offensively? What did you see in that Bucs game, and how concerned are you for Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, and the guys against Carolina?
Well, I think it was a bad game, and it was a bad spot, period. The Seahawks just got dominated. They pretty much got dominated in every facet, and they were missing a lot of guys, and I don't know, it was a bad game. So now they go back home to face a Panthers defense that I don't think we're going to see Luke Kuechly this week. I don't know if they're going to have Mario Addison, who has been by far their best pass rusher. He has a he was out last week with a foot injury. Foot injuries are rough. So I think that the Seahawks probably get right here against a Panthers defense that is at significantly less than full strength. Still don't have a lot of faith in the Seahawks running game, just because of their offensive line. And I mean, I don't know if they're really a running game committed team anymore. Thomas Rawls, he also lost a bunch of snaps to George Farmer last week when the Seahawks fell behind. I don't think the Seahawks will fall behind this week, but something to note, George Farmer was in there on a lot of passing downs. I think that Russell Wilson rebounds and has a big game against Carolina. Jimmy Graham should have a big game. I mean, the Panthers do not have a lot of answers for these guys. Doug Baldwin in the slot against Leonard Johnson, who's played for three teams in the last two seasons. Jermaine Kearse is kind of a sneaky sleeper this week. He's been absolutely atrocious this year. But he has had two monster games against the Panthers among these teams' last three meetings. In the playoffs, he had like 11 catches for 110 yards and two touchdowns in January. And then there was a game in the playoffs 2 years ago where he had three catches for 129 and a touchdown. Tyler Lockett saw six targets last week, didn't catch any of them. A lot of that was on Russell Wilson. I mean, he missed him on some big-time opportunities. But this is kind of the story of Tyler Lockett's season. He did his playing time did go way up, and I'm sure that a lot of that had to do with the Seahawks simply playing from behind. But he was at 82% of the snaps, which was the most that Tyler Lockett has played by a significant margin all year. So that's something to kind of file away.
All right, last but not least, it is Monday Night Football, and it is the New York Jets hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Luck will be back. Who do you like for the Colts or not like against the Jets, D?
Like pretty much everyone in the passing game. I hope that T.Y. Hilton is healthy. I think that that's something we'll get a clearer picture of on Thursday. But this would be a great matchup for him. I think it would be a great matchup for Moncrief. Dwayne Allen came alive last game. I think you still don't really want to use Dwayne Allen in fantasy, but, I mean, that's good news for Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck should be all systems go against the Jets. I think that that's kind of where I am. I mean, it'll be tough for Frank Gore. It's always tough for the RB against the Jets. He'll get touches.
What about the Jets offensively? Fitzpatrick played his best game in a while, it felt like. And Unwin was involved. Brandon Marshall was involved. Now they go against the Colts, D.
Yeah, they played real well against the Patriots for most of that game. The matchups are all good, on paper for the Jets' offensive players. Brandon Marshall has been disappointing all season long, but Vontae Davis has looked debilitated on the field for his last two games. I don't know if he's going to play. He probably will, but he doesn't really pose a challenging matchup at this point. He's a shell of himself. Quincy Enunwa, we saw him really get going against the Patriots last week. The Patriots have been horrible against interior receivers all season long. Colts haven't been a whole lot better. But, you know, it's a situation with Quincy Enunwa where his usage goes just up and down, and it just always feels like we're chasing the latest box score. You know, oh, what happened last week? You know, oh, does this mean that he's good now? You know, or, you know, it's tough with Quincy Enunwa. With that said, I mean, he's definitely not like a bad fantasy option. Matt Forte didn't have a whole lot of success against New England last week. The Patriots, I thought they were going to be without Alan Branch, but then it was reported on Saturday. All these reports came out on Saturday. And one of them was that Alan Branch was appealing his suspension and had made the trip for last week's game to MetLife, and he played, and you know the Patriots did their usual thing against the run. The Colts do not have a good run defense, obviously. So this is a game where Matt Forte should get it rolling again.
Good stuff as always, Evan. I feel prepared and ready for Week 13 to set my lineups across the board. Hopefully all of you guys do as well. If you even gain a little extra insight from Evan that you want to parlay into some extra money, why not go to BetDSI.com? They got a promotion going where you can actually try the site out for free. Just go to BetDSI.com, use the promo code Tucker15, and you'll get $15 free to bet the NFL or really anything else you want to bet. I don't care what you bet, but just go try it. BetDSI.com using the promo code Tucker15. To get a free $15. You can't lose if you use somebody else's money. That should be my motto. You can't lose if you use somebody else's money. BetDSI.com. Use that code Tucker15. Anyway, I think we're done here. Good stuff, Evan. As always, I'm full, totally stuffed. You get it. Amazon banner ads, by the way, for those Christmas presents. Holiday presents you get for people. It's the last thing I wanted to mention. All right, that's it. I'm done. I'm stopped.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
You know, there's something about TrueCar. I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while, but there's something a lot of people don't know. And is that using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So you knew about buying new cars. You can also get better deals on pre-owned cars through the TrueCar certified dealer network. The key is, you'll see what other people paid for the car in your area. So if you want to know what a fair price is and feel confident when you make your purchase, that is the key to me. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. That is the way that you can go. Again, TrueCar. Some of these features, by the way, not available in all states, but it's pretty cool. I've used TrueCar to know what you're doing, to know what price you should be paying. It's really, really nice. A quick, easy buying experience. Again, check out TrueCar before you buy your new or pre-owned car.